Okay, here we are. Just trying to adjust that just right. Okay. Now, most of you out there have been listening to this program for some time, and I don't get to do this very often, but Dr. Sherry Tenpenny put some information on the table in her most recent video, which utterly, completely underscored what we have been saying here for quite some time. When I say we, I should say simply Erica Kahn, MIT nanoscientist. She has been making the point about this virus that Dr. Sherry Tenpenny did just the other day. And it absolutely validated what Erica has been saying for weeks on this program. But we got it bumped up a notch, so to speak, in terms of the ability for more people to see and understand it. And I want to, again, commend Erica on this. She did a great job seeing this early on, and now it's finally out there on a larger platform. Welcome back, Erica.
Hi, Jeff. It's good to be back. Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, good job on this. You were the first one to really make this point, and I think it's very important that people understand that.
Yeah, it does put a whole different aspect to both the virus and the vaccine, this potential for autoimmunity because of these cross-reactive epitopes that are prevalent in the virus and now also in this vaccine that they're administering to people.
Do we dare even call it a vaccine?
No, I guess that's a misnomer, yeah. Definitely a misnomer.
I mean, we use it because it's the most understood term, and terminology is very important. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to play just a little clip from Dr. Tenpenny, who talks about this very thing, and then we'll come right back and elaborate on it. And if you've been listening to Erica in the past, you'll understand that this is essentially old news to all of us. Here we go.
All of them. There was a study that came out the middle of January by a very well-respected, highly respected immunology group in California. And what they did was they said, when we create this anti-spike antibody, does it just go after the virus, the one that you might be re-exposed to, or maybe one of the coronaviruses? Or can it cross-react with your body, which is what autoimmune disease is? So they took tissue samples and they put them in what they call little wells. They're like little wells. They look like little Dixie cup wells. And they put samples of 55 different tissue types in these little wells. Then they dropped serum that had the anti-spike antibody on it and saw what the reaction was. And what they found was that the antibody cross-reacted with 28 different tissue types. One of the highest concentrations, one of the highest aggregations of where the antibody attached to was the mitochondria. The mitochondria are the inner lining of the mitochondria, to be exact. The mitochondria are little organelles inside of every muscle system in your body that they produce your chemistry. They produce your gasoline, and your body's gasoline is called ATP. So ATP is the gasoline that runs your body. And it's produced internally by the mitochondria. The antibody attack the mitochondria and make it not work correctly. And I believe, it's my opinion, that that's one of the reasons why one of the most profound side effects from the after people have experienced that, after they've received one of these three approved shots, is profound fatigue.
It's okay. So you get the idea, I think. And that's just one of the 28 cells, tissue type cells in the human body that this spike antibody has a real lust for. And when it goes after your ATP production, you aren't going to want to get out of bed. And I've talked to a lot of people who have obviously had the coronavirus and they've gotten over it. But one of the symptoms is profound fatigue. I had it about 8 or 9 months ago. I have no doubt I had it. I couldn't even walk to the damn car. I was so tired. I said, what the hell's going on here? And I looked up a little research, did some studying, and one of the symptoms was profound fatigue. You can shut down your mitochondrial ATP production and you don't go anywhere. And go ahead, Erica.
Yeah, you're right. And that's just one of the targets that they looked at out of the 55 tissue samples they tested to see if it reacted with antibodies being produced to the coronavirus. But it was also, you know, the gastrointestinal tract, the pancreas, the liver, the heart, muscles, joints, thyroid, the brain. It's a problematic virus, and it's not a virus that you necessarily want to make antibodies against. I mean, it really should be a T cell mediated disease, meaning your T cells will arrest the replication of this virus before your mm-hmm. body has to produce an abundance of antibodies mm-hmm. to neutralize it. And so that's why a lot of people are concerned or confused after they believe that they've had coronavirus, and then they go and they get their antibodies tested, and they're surprised to find out, I don't have any antibodies. I must not have had it. Well, that's not true. If you do make antibodies, they should fade very, very quickly. You don't want these antibodies hanging around, because if they do, it likely means one of two things. Either you're still infected subclinically, meaning, mm-hmm. you know, you don't mm-hmm. know you have it, but it's still there, much like HIV. You know, how do they test for HIV? It's an antibody test. And if you come up positive, it means you're infected, even though you might not have symptoms. Or secondarily, if you still have antibodies after you had coronavirus and believed to be recovered, you may have developed an autoimmune disease. So you really don't want to have antibodies after overcoming this virus. And, you know, the vaccine it definitely does. It induces the production of antibodies that may not serve you well in the future because of this antibody-dependent enhancement, meaning you could get, if you get re-exposed to a coronavirus, it will be infinitely worse and sometimes fatal.
Yes, these antibodies are not indigenous to the normal human immunological profile. They're different. They're designed to go after
infection, they should fade. They turn into memory B cells. So
right.
even though, you know, you can't detect them on a simple antibody blood test, it doesn't mean your body doesn't have the memory of that infection right. and can generate mm-hmm. a quick response if it gets re-exposed. But it's not metabolically efficient. It doesn't make sense to have blood that is thick with these antibodies floating around at all times. It's not the way we work. It's not efficient.
And as Gert VandenBosch pointed out, these antibodies outperform our own natural immune system antibodies to the extent that our immune system, in his view, becomes essentially ineffective. I'll be polite with the term, ineffective. In other words, you might as well have AIDS because you've got no immune system, and the door is open to what they call in the HIV world about 30 plus different hallmark AIDS infections that can rack your body to the end. And these so-called vaccine shots cause the production of these antibodies forever, as far as we know. Understand, they don't stop being produced. So your immune system will be absolutely pushed into the background and then maybe crushed into oblivion. And what's going to happen to you? You're going to be standing there with an antibody system that's prepared to take on one thing, the spike protein. Good luck.
Yeah, you've weighted your immune system in favor of one virus out of trillions that are out there. So you do. You leave yourself very vulnerable to other infections, other pathogens that come along. And we're exposed to these things daily.
That's how we remain relatively free of disease. We're exposed to these things daily. Our immune system is it's extremely broad in its approach. It is non-exclusive. It'll take on anything. That's what it's supposed to do. And we are blessed with the most amazing ability to retain our relative health and wellness in a world full of danger. Now, one thing that the I guess it was the Israeli scientists found out last week, was that this incredible so-called vaccine not only sends out its minions to invade the human cells of our body, but it also can invade bacteria in our digestive tract. They'll go after a bacteria just like a human cell and set up shop. Now, what does that mean? Go ahead and tell us about that one. That one really flipped me out.
Yeah, I'm still a little sketchy on that. I haven't seen enough to really comment on it. I you know, my first instinct is it sounds like a stretch, but I don't know. I mean, are weaponizing pathogens, so is it possible? I guess. I don't know what they have
up
their sleeves.
I read the one story. It was fairly extensive, and it sounded very logical to me. It didn't care if it was a human cell type or a bacteria. It went right in and went to work. We'll find out more. But going back to this other thing about 28 basic human tissue cell types were shown to be reactive to this antibody. Or I should say the antibody was shown to be reactive to these cells. And you mentioned heart, liver, lungs, brain. This is not good, Erica.
No,
this is bad
it's
news.
Terrible. So, you know, if you are sensitized to this virus, or, in particular the spike protein, it seems to be the spike protein that causes a lot of these. Well, it contains the most or the highest number of these cross-reactive epitopes, meaning genetic sequences, that are also common to the human body. So, you know, is it a coincidence or just an ill-conceived idea that they decided to make that a part of the vaccine? You know, the most problematic part of the virus. They are conditioning your immune system to react to that, which coincidentally also cross-reacts with 28 out of 55 antigens in the human body. And they were warned. They were sent letters by, you know, people, researchers that were looking at this before they came out with a vaccine, and these letters were ignored.
They don't care. This has all been done by design. And I must say that the design, the level of sophistication, apparently, in this whole virus vaccine paradigm that has been foisted, thrown, blasted at us for the last year and 4 months, is incredibly evil and scientifically diabolical. Is that a stretch?
No, I agree. When you look at how everything is played out, from the exaggeration of the numbers of cases all of last year, you know, the numbers were inflated to make it look a lot worse than it was, the suppression of the therapies that were determined to be helpful, useful, you know, they were banned, they were outlawed, they were suppressed. And now, you know, the denial with the side effects coming from this vaccine, which are I mean, some of them are rather horrific. I mean, people are dying. They are getting seriously maimed and injured. And it's just swept under the carpet or belittled, you know, diminished in its significance. And no one's really looking at, oh, my gosh, you know, we're having these reactions. Well, why would that be? No one cares. So you have to think that this is deliberate. I don't know.
There's no other way to look at it,
no.
Erica. Come on, we're all of you out there, all of us, we understand. There are no coincidences. This didn't just happen. This was diabolically planned for years.
Yep.
And we're not supposed to be talking about it, but we will. And those out there listening, hopefully will tell others. I'll put this program up as a free listen as well. This is really important stuff. And I said it last hour, but I'm going to say it again, that my heart really is heavy for all the people out there who took this alleged vaccine. I don't care which type, Pfizer, Moderna, doesn't J&J, doesn't matter. They took it and then they saw a video, like a 10-penny video, And they understood then what they had, in a totally uninformed sense, accepted to be put into their bodies. They are going to live the rest of their lives in dread and fear. And I really feel sorry for people like that. What a terrible, terrible thing to do to any living being, especially humans who are supposedly the most intelligent and discerning. And now what we have, what do we have? AstraZeneca. What are they going to do with AstraZeneca? AstraZeneca has applied for emergency use approval here in the U.S., and in the next week or two, apparently, they, the government, regulators, are going to rule on it. And you know damn well they're going to give the green light to AstraZeneca to be used here. The Clot King vaccine. My God.
Yep.
We're two more people killed by AstraZeneca the other day. And none of this is on the mainstream media venue. It's not being talked about. The word is, you don't talk about that. You don't talk about the stolen election. You don't talk about no prosecution of Black Lives Matter or Antifa. You don't talk about any of that. And for the people on the other side, the right side or the conservative side, you don't talk about the fact that Donald Trump asked all of America's most dedicated and devout patriots to come to Washington on January 6th to peacefully demonstrate, setting them up to be hunted down like common criminals now and prosecuted. That's what happened. He could have blanket pardoned every one of those on his last day or last week in office. He didn't. He walked away and he walked out on them. And I will never forget that. That's enough. Go ahead, Erica.
Yeah, that's a betrayal. But that is the name of the game these days. But if we want to move on to, you know, these other vaccines that people are thinking might be better than the synthetic mRNAs, they're not. I can tell you right now that these, they're called viral vector vaccines.
Right. The
adenovirus vaccines. Yeah, so the adenovirus.
J&J. And they've already had injuries from that.
Yeah. Well, the adenovirus vector has a long history going back probably 20 years that I can think of. And they were using it as a gene therapy, which this is. But the intention at that time was to use it to help people that had, you know, some kind of inherited genetic condition where they were not able to produce a particular protein that was adversely affecting their metabolism, and they could be at serious risk of dying if this wasn't corrected. So you can sort of make a case for trying experimental therapies with people in that situation. And so 20 years ago, there was a Hallmark case, a young boy by the name of Jesse Gelsinger, 18 years old from Tucson, Arizona, that had one of these inherited conditions where he couldn't process ammonia. And he volunteered to be part of the study using this adenovirus vector, and it went off the rails. And at the time, this was 1999, the researchers conducting the study were not entirely truthful about what had happened in the animal studies, what had happened with a couple of the prior participants. So even back in 1999, there were issues with informed consent for people participating in these types of studies. Well, heartbreakingly, this kid died. It didn't go as according to plan, and he died from the very things that we're seeing people die from in this AstraZeneca vaccine right now. These systemic inflammatory responses, these blood clots or coagulation disorders, and they just go into multi-organ system failure. So they've known about this for over 20 years, and somehow in the past year it became okay to use this type of viral vector to mass vaccinate the entire globe's population. Have we learned nothing in the past 20 years? I mean, did ethics just went out the window?
What ethics, honestly?
And
what
for
ethics
a virus that has less than less than 1% case fatality rate.
And that's across the board.
Yeah.
It's one tenth of 1% for people under the age of 40, I think. It's 99.9 that even if you do nothing, like don't even take any vitamin D, your chances of surviving infection are 99.9%. You've got nothing to worry about. Anyhow,
yeah.
So we've got to take a break here in just a minute. There's much more to come here. They have, believe me, we know who they are. They have a shelf full of alternatives to go to if they can't get their number of people vaxxed that they want. And we'll talk more about those things in just a couple minutes with Erica Kahn. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Erica about what we're all facing right now. I think clearly they have long had their plan about how to ratchet the pressure up on people to take this this kill shot. Choose your poison. It doesn't matter. They're all going to do the same thing. One thing that is of particular concern is that the swab tests are clearly, in at least some cases, contaminated with Morgellons fibers and other bits of metal. They appear to be metal. And one person doing some research held a magnet next to one. This came out of one of these swab tips, and that little piece of whatever vanished. It was repelled or attracted by the magnet so fast the eye couldn't follow it. So nanotech is being put into not only the vaccines, and I'm not just talking about the mRNA with the nanotech lipid covering and the PEG on top of that. I'm talking about the tests. What are they doing with the tests? The sky's the limit. And I'm telling you, there was no reason for those tests to go all the way back and push against that thin bone plate that separates the actual brain from the nasal cavities, your sinuses. One woman at least that we know about actually began to weep cerebral spinal fluid after she got her test. So with nanotech in the swabs, nanotech in the vaccines, so-called, we're really in trouble here. If they don't get you coming, they're going to get you going. And I don't know what to read into this, Erica, except the diabolical nature of this is beyond anything human, I would imagine. And I again go back to my maybe call to stretch that at the very top level of this planet, the cabal, the cartel, the Illuminati, the globalist elite, whatever you want to call them, there is an off-planet link. Maybe there's an agreement. Maybe there's something. This nanotechnology has exploded in the last 10, 15 years, 20 years. I think it's been the number one black op thing in military, period, and other venues. Erica, how about all these things? What about the swab tests? I'm telling people, do not get tested under any circumstance. Don't take the chance. We've found things in these swabs. I have a doctor friend who is actually taking these tests apart now and photographing them, and he's finding things that shouldn't be there. And one of the tests he took apart, took the swab tip apart, was made in China.
Yeah, none of that surprises me. I mean, I was suspicious about these tests right from the beginning because they're not an appropriate diagnostic test by any means. So, you know, and why were they so insistent on you know, sticking these things up people's noses, you know, right next to the brain plate, when a buccal swab could have done the same thing. And not that that would have been any more of a diagnostic. I mean, PCR is not supposed to be used as a diagnostic. So that wasn't
adding up. So said its inventor, Dr. Terry Mullis.
Yeah, he was very clear about that. Because they tried to use it for diagnosing AIDS or HIV,
right.
and he said way back then, it's not to be used for that.
Terry Mullis conveniently died just several months before this whole thing started.
Yeah, August of 2019. Gone from the planet. And so I it's not surprising to me that, you know, some people dug up, they were going through some trade websites to look at exports and imports going between countries. And they found, curiously, back in 2018, multiple imports of COVID-19 test kits coming from China into the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
2018.
Mm-hmm.
How did they know?
Yeah.
I mean, if this thing wasn't planned,
how
what are you doing
know?
With test kits for?
And they were labeled, and the patents on record
yes.
now having to do
yes.
with this whole alleged pandemic are just so incriminating. It's just disgusting. Gates, all of them. These people are out, obviously, to reduce the world population enormously. They're eugenicists. This is genocide by vaccine, possibly by test. I don't know, and I don't want any of you who have had the nasal swab test or the deep nasal swab test to worry. I want you to be informed. I want you to understand that there are things being put into our bodies through many different fashions, not just the vaccine. And I know that the swab is one of them. When they switched to the lower nasal swab, I did read that the actual size of the supposed cotton tip was much larger to cover more territory when they swabbed it around and perhaps leave more things behind. This is incredible to me. This is like your worst science fiction nightmare coming true. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, the nasal route is one of the most effective ways of getting something into the brain. That sinus cavity. So you got to wonder. I mean, these people have been lying right from the beginning.
They're not going to stop.
Was there our health they were concerned about? Why the need to lie?
No, they lie. They lie constantly. And the biggest liars of all are Gates and Fauci. The biggest visible liars of all, Gates and Fauci. So
yep.
Fauci's getting a book now, how a little Brooklyn kid became the America's doctor. I think that's the name of it. I put it up there. How a little kid from Brooklyn became America's doctor.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Well, I laugh because he is. He's the butt of jokes, in, you know, amongst real scientists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the mass marketing of
Fauci
is despicable.
It's hard to take him seriously.
Yes. Yeah. Has the guy ever practiced a day in his life? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, who knows?
He hasn't. It's all a fraud. It's the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on an otherwise well-informed general public. I've never seen anything like it. And the reaction of how they lured people into demanding to take this kill shot is one of the most amazing lessons of mass mind control and its potential that you'll ever see. These people are lined up for it.
In seemingly record time. I mean, in under a year.
Right.
In under a year, you've persuaded almost the entire population that they need a vaccine to get back to normal for a virus that 0.01% case fatality rate?
Maybe. I don't know. I just don't know. This is the vaccine, even if it worked, at its current incarnation, doesn't prevent you from becoming infected, doesn't prevent you from passing it along, and after you get it, doesn't prevent you from getting the virus after you've been vaccinated. So it's absolutely on its face no damn good for anything. Nothing.
Nothing. And if anything, the reports that are coming in, there seems to be no end of people who have gotten vaccinated and then, you know, completed the series, both dose one and dose two, and then a couple weeks later, they test positive for COVID, you know, complete with symptoms. You know, whether it's true COVID or something else, we'll never know because they don't do differential diagnoses, apparently. There's no such thing as the flu or the common cold anymore. It's all COVID. But it's known with these vaccines that there is a temporary, maybe it's not temporary, maybe it's permanent, drop in immunity. You are immune suppressed for a period of time after you get these vaccines, and maybe indefinitely. I don't know.
If it turns out that it is long term, what we're going to see, and now we have the mechanism again for the Deagle.com projections, we have a mechanism, a potential mechanism. If the immune system is suppressed to any substantial degree, the mass of people are going to become infected and infested with all manner of bacteria and viruses that would otherwise have been broomed out the door the first day they raise their head. They're gone.
Yep.
Now they're going to set up shop and you're going to get sick. Not you, but those others will become sick. They'll be dragged down and you get three or four major illnesses and your immune system is no longer able to fight them. Just look up AIDS. Look up HIV and understand what happens to those people. The same thing. This should be called COVAIDS or COVID-AIDS. It's beginning to look like that.
That's just one possible scenario. The more frightening
one, I believe,
is we know that these lipid nanoparticles are getting into the brain. I mean, countless people have reported neurological symptoms and brain swelling after having these vaccines.
Let me say one thing. Hold on. The lipid nanoparticles we're talking about cover the mRNA single strand. That's what they use to defend it. It's a fatty covering. Your brain is fat. It goes right into your brain with this PEG on the outside too. Please go ahead.
So they get past the blood-brain barrier and get into the brain, and we know this. This is not speculation. Pfizer has done the biodistribution studies to see where these nanoparticles end up once they're injected, and the brain is one of them. Most of them seem to go to the liver, but let's talk about what ends up in the brain. This is just, you're setting yourself up for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis. You know, if you can't detox these lipid nanoparticles, which are extremely toxic, you're going to lose brain cells. Your brain's going to be inflamed until it can get rid of those toxins, and this just sets the stage for, you know, sheer misery.
There's another thing. You saw the paper. I think it was a paper written about prion issues.
Now, there's sequences in the mRNA. That's another separate issue. That if the lipid nanoparticles don't get you, well, some of these genetic sequences might set the stage for disease, and they found two proteins or sequences in there that are associated with prion disease.
As in mad cow, as in CWD in deer, as in the end of the line for anybody who gets infected. Okay? That's it. The president of the American Alzheimer's Association, this had to be 15 or more years ago, said that about 20%, and I'm remembering, maybe wrong, but I think it was 20%, of Alzheimer's cases are actually mad cow disease, which, by extension, tells us that mad cow, and I know this from other sources, is in the meat and dairy industry. It's here. There's nothing they can do about it. There's a slow fuse on it. That's why dairy cattle are usually ground up into McDonald's after 3 years. They don't want to be looking out at their dairy cattle and seeing them stumbling around, and then try to sell them to a slaughterhouse, even though many slaughterhouses will actually take cattle that can't walk anymore, and they use a backhoe to drag them in. This is true. So what causes them not to be able to walk anymore? Usually, it's a prion disease, bad cow. Never mind that over 50% of all dairy cattle have active cases of BLV, bovine leukemia virus. Mm-hmm. Never mind that. So, look, this is bad. Why? What are prion potentials doing in this mRNA strand? What are HIV potentials doing in this mRNA strand or in the virus itself?
Yeah, it's got a lot of interesting attributes that shouldn't be there if it evolved naturally. I mean, I think we have more than enough proof, evidence, pointing to the fact that this was a lab-generated bioweapon.
And they have many more on the shelf. Now, I was told a long time ago that not one, but two, I'm not talking about a variant of the coronavirus, I'm talking about a second issue. A second virus, could be a bacteria, I don't know. It's also been determined now that the great Spanish flu catastrophe of 1918-1919 that ended World War I, so many people were dying of it, was a bacterium, not a virus. This came out the other day. It was a bacterium.
Yeah.
So things are, you talk about lies, Erica, and you correctly. They've been lying to us forever.
Yep.
We're a captive audience.
Yep.
We're constantly being deceived. And I'm really sick of it. And I just wish people would have this whole thing about informed consent. I would like to know if anybody knows anybody who was sat down and read the Bill of Rights, so to speak, of anybody who was about to take a vaccination. And I don't think you're going to find it.
No, I don't even think the people that are administering the vaccines are fully informed of, you know, the risks and the possible outcomes. And
that's right. That's right. No.
I mean, if you look at the casualness of some of these vaccination sites. I mean, drive-up clinics? Are you kidding?
Yeah, give us a thumbnail sketch of a drive-up clinic. Now, they were getting... Remember, they had drive-up test. Remember that? The drive-up test lines? They were literally flooded all over the country with a mile or two of automobiles lined up so people could have the brain plate punctured, ruptured, or bruised, or battered by this 14-inch long, whatever it is, a swab, I guess you'd call it. And what are they doing back there? What are they doing back there? They don't need to be back there. It's a direct freeway right into the brain. Correct.
Yep. Exactly. Well, so now, you know, now that we have the vaccine that, you know, is released at the height of flu season, coincidence? I don't know. You know, you just, what used to be a test center is now a vaccine drive-through.
There is
no
more flu.
And what's scary is that, you know, you drive up, you get your injection, and then you drive to a satellite parking lot for a period of time to wait and see if you're going to have an adverse event or die, and then you're allowed to drive off. I've never seen anything like it. If you didn't know any better, you'd think this is a comedy.
You would. It's the blackest humor imaginable. You sit there for 20 minutes. Well, Marvin Hagler is said to have died within minutes of getting his shot, and they claim that, he was in ICU for 2 weeks. Uh-uh, not according to people that know him. He was not. He was dead. So they lie. Again, they lie all the time. Hank Aaron dies. Larry King, dead. And how many others? It's 2%, maybe 3% that are likely to die or suffer life-threatening reactions. What is it?
The latest figure I saw, and this is what's being reported. This isn't counting what's not being reported, but it's around 4% right now, fatality rate.
Good God.
Yeah.
So that's if your fatality rate potential is 0.1%, what is 4%? Compare the two. Thousands of times a greater chance of dying from getting the so-called vaccine than from becoming infected with these so-called virus.
Yep.
I mean, this is all...
I mean, the risk-benefit ratio is absurd. It's just, it's utterly absurd. But, you know, that's what trauma-based mind control will do to people. It makes them irrational. You can't talk to them. You can't reason with them. You can't rationalize it. They can't hear you.
No. And honestly, they don't want to hear you. Trauma-based, perfect term. What did they do to all of us? And I'm talking worldwide. A lot of you people listening in India and Brazil, wherever. They beat us all up for nearly a year with all this fear. That's trauma. Stress.
Yep.
When you put a mask on somebody, that's trauma. That's stress. When you put a mask on little children, it's child abuse and lifelong damage to that child. And now this, I gotta watch myself. This creep, this hideous man, Fauci, is pushing to inject infants and toddlers.
I know, that's just unconscionable. But that tells you right there, there's no ethics or morals. I mean, this is genocide. Let's just call it what it is.
Now, for all of you listening who have had the shot and are doing well, good. Keep it up. Stay informed. Don't eat garbage. Give your immune system the best possible support you can. And I'm not pushing any products at you, but I will remind you that Allison C., extraordinary. Greska's Carbon 60, some amazing stories are coming out of that corner. We have to be very careful about this, and I don't want to say anything else, but this is something you really should consider as well. Those two, carnivora.com, the extract from the Venus flytrap, Oxy-C, wonderful product that was invented 100 years ago in Germany by a physician that oxygenates your bloodstream. And there are so many good things out there, but we have, I think, winnowed that down to the best of the best at our site, and I urge you all to...
I would say your bio superfood there is excellent, too, for... You know, just all those micronutrients. I mean, the body needs these micronutrients.
I was just going to mention that as it's a little different, but it has over 15,000 nutrients, micronutrients, that help your body deal with... Which you don't get that in the normal American diet.
No, not even
close. One of those capsules will give you things that you'll never see and your body needs. So, Bio Superfood, phenomenal product. Those five things I take every day and wouldn't be without them. And I really think that, that Bob Greska has stumbled onto something that is absolutely fantastic in its potential. So there
definitely.
You go.
Yep.
And, by the way, he'll be on tomorrow night and I'll have some more people talking about their experiences with that. Okay, Erica, wrap it up for us. What do we want to do here that we've missed? Anything important? A lot of important things, I guess.
No, well, it's continuing to evolve. I just, you know, I can't tell you what to do, but just open your eyes and watch. And there's a lot of deception going on these days.
And again, if you have loved ones in your family, friends, colleagues, and you say something trying to help them, and they snap at you or laugh at you, you're just going to have to stop unless you can go pull up.
Yeah, I mean, we are all experiencing that. So a lot of times it feels like you're the only one, you know, the voice in the wilderness.
Yeah.
No one's listening to you, but we're all we're all facing that. You know, those of us that can see what this is and trying to warn others, it's not easy.
It's truly heartbreaking. And the issue with these headaches, severe headaches in people, there's no mystery. The stuff's going right into your brain. And these lipid nanoparticles are not good. Nothing's good. There's nothing good about this. Zero. Nothing. Erica, thank you.
It's totally synthetic biology, and your body doesn't know how to break that down. So
well
this
said.
Is a toxin that can persist for years.
Exactly. Okay, talk to you next time. Thanks for your wisdom. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, thank
very
you,
much.
Jeff.
All right. Erica Kahn, MIT nanoscientist, and very brave to stand out there like the others who are stepping up. Dr. Tenpenny, Del Bigtree, Gert van den Bosch, whether you agree with them or not, these are brave people. We'll be right back.